I feel at home in this place. Amen. And it's always felt like a home. It's been probably about 15 years. Various things, yeah. Yeah. And I'm thrilled to have my wife, Lisa, with us here. And I want to take a moment just to say a couple of things before I minister. I think they're fitting because it's very humbling to stand here and to be able to celebrate with you. And I honor Pastor Lisa and Dan. And I am truly blessed. It sounds like the stuff you just say, but the reason I'm saying it's because it's true. I'm honored to call y'all our friends and true family in the Lord. And I'm thankful for that. You what you've carried on here, and it takes more than just Lisa and Dan and the ministry. It's all of you. If you last name it in Hiles, you're part of the family and you're part of the kingdom. And the fact is they all make you feel that way. And it's impossible to honor you without honoring your heritage too. Graham, you woke up this morning. You know, when I pulled in, it took me a little while. I told him it took me a little while to park this morning because I couldn't find Curtis and I didn't know where to park. Kept waiting for him to wave me in and land me. But when I got here, Terry was pulling up Graham and y'all got out. And I thought about all of the hair. Can you imagine this? Did you ever have in your wildest imaginations in the Lord anything like this? That's the coolness, if I can use that term. That's a Greek word. The coolness of God. Yeah, really. But that's the cool thing about God. I know y'all have heard it here, but you think about, if you'll save me, I'll serve you. I know y'all have heard that for years, and don't ever let the magnitude of what God did. And it wasn't just through one man and one woman, but that's where it started. This is your heritage in the Lord. Your kids, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren. I don't even know how far it goes anymore. They're everywhere. You'll run it. You pretty much, if you go to any mall in America, I bet you'll bump into a Hiles somewhere. They're everywhere. They're easier to find than Waldo. They're just all over the place. But the heritage and what God has accomplished, and on a personal note, see, when I heard about this, I saw where you're having the 40th, and I told Lisa this. It's honest truth. When I saw y'all were having the 40th anniversary, I think I told my wife, and I said, man, I would sure love to be there. Guess what? I get to hang out with y'all and celebrate. I'm here. And that's a personal note. That's just really encouraging me because when we come up here, and this is the truth, I've told my wife and told others, we love conference when we come up here. And it's neat to get to see some family you don't get to see from literally all over the country and other parts of the world. But the truth is, I come just as much to see you guys, just the local family, because y'all have always made us feel like family when we're here. And, you know, it's not something you try to do. It's just what the Lord does through you. And I want to thank you for that. We've got a saying in our fellowship because the heritage that's coming along is continuing. Lisa, you're one of the, honestly, you're one of the most dynamic. I've listened to Lisa. I got Lisa on flash drive. And I've listened to these messages. You're one of the most phenomenal teachers and the way you communicate the word. And you may say, well, that's just what you're supposed to say. Again, I don't fluff. My spiritual father and the Lord told me, he said, don't ever fluff people. If you don't mean it, just don't say it. So I wouldn't say it unless I meant it. You're a great teacher and instructor, and there's others in this house, every one of you. Graham, I was going to tell you, you know, you woke up today with breath in your lungs. There's not a one of us that have outlived our purpose in the earth. If you woke up with breath in your lungs today, you got a reason for being on the top side of this planet in Christ. And you may say, well, I don't know. Some of you may feel like you outlived it. You probably just hadn't even really got to it good. Because we sometimes see our purpose as grandiose and something over the top. And so does God, but his grandiose and over the top sometimes is not what we call it. It's sometimes just loving the person who's right next to you. Just loving on your family. Just loving on your neighbor. Just loving on people, Jack, that can't really love you back and they don't have anything to offer to you. It's so great to see Jack and Lola too. And I wanted to tell you, I'm going to go ahead and minister some things that I think the Lord stirred in my heart. And who knows where where it's going to go. I just like how he does that. But I do, I got to disappoint a couple of guys before we start. You know, Monty and Clint and Jamie and I, we're going to do a dance number for you as we got going. I just don't really feel like we have the time, and I know these guys are really, if y'all will forgive me, I'm just making the call on this one. We're just not going to do that. Maybe conference or something, we'll get that going. Are y'all good? All right, and I apologize to the rest of you because I know you would really love to see that, but I'm going to spare you. Jim, you can join us too. I didn't even think. Oh, we've got something. I know you guys, a lot of you guys know me. I'm just going to be kind of me and the Lord, and we want to have a good time, just celebrate Jesus. It's not a catchphrase to me. I just like to brag on Jesus. The best way I think I can honor you for 40 years is just take a moment and brag on Jesus. We've got a little saying in our fellowship sometimes. I call it, and that's what I love to see this morning. We call it in our fellowship, you need to share your stones from the Jordan. And where we get that was when Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land and God dried up the Jordan River. You know, the priests stepped down and they walked through. And when they got to the other side, there was that dry river right there. And he said, I want to send one from each tribe to go down there and you get a big stone. And if you'll let me paraphrase this, here's what he said. He said, I want you to take that pile of rocks and you stick them over here so that when your kids ask you, Dad, Mom, great grandma, whoever, what's that pile of rocks right there? You can tell them what God did. And I think there is tremendous truth and things we can share about the work of redemption and what Jesus did through the cross, through all of that. But because of that, every one of you in here also have some stones from the Jordan. You got some of those things. And I'm not talking about trying to live in the past. We don't live in the past, but we celebrate what God has done in our journey because we know he's just as faithful today and he will be. And see, we need to hear your story. The world needs to hear his story through you. The world around you, the body of Christ needs to hear your testimony of what God's done and how he's been. Because sometimes things change and you go into a brand new chapter, don't you, Kathy? Brand new chapter. I saw Kathy retired. I saw that. See, we learn all kinds of stuff through Facebook. You don't think we're watching sometimes. Kathy finally decided John needed somebody to keep a better eye on him, and so she had to retire and get it home. So you're going to have to straighten up now, aren't you? Yeah. No, but it's the same glorious journey in the Lord, the wonderful story. But sometimes when you get to the end of that chapter, it's neat to say, what's the next page? What's the next thing that he's doing? Because there's more testimonies, there's more stones from the Jordan, there's more realities of what God's accomplished. And the fact is, I'm real simple in my ministry and my preaching in this regard. You want to impress people. You want them to think I want them to think I halfway know what I'm talking about. But I want to tell you this morning, God's so big, I have no clue who I'm trying to describe to you. I'm just telling you a little glimpse and a little glimmer of the wonders of Jesus and his love because it is so vast. The Holy Spirit's the only one that can really reveal that to you. And don't get caught up. And I'm so thankful for just when I say this, I don't mean shallow, but I know you get, and I use this term wisely, down to earth, heavenly teaching and loving and ministering that comes to you and through you. When I say down to earth, I don't mean it's just fleshy and shallow. What I'm saying is the reality of the gospel is to touch this life we now live in the flesh. And see, some things that I started to hear this morning, I like that. It encouraged me when you got something to share and you go, okay, Lord, I see where maybe you're nudging. That makes us feel comfortable. As ministers, you want to get up and go, Lord, we're standing up trying to speak and communicate who you are. What a task. Well, praise God, we can realize that's the Holy Spirit that does that. When I was thinking about, and Lola, when you prophesied over Jared about the alabaster box, and they ministered, they danced and sung earlier, and I've let this dance team down I don't know how many times. It's been terrible. Every time I come, Brooke said, are you dancing this time? I never have the right clothes or anything. So that's why we and the guys were going to get together and do something. We freestyle. But when they talked about being poured out and being broken, that's a word sometimes that we get a little apprehensive about. I don't know if we like that word because some of the context of it, and maybe a lot of it's a little bit misunderstanding because we think, well, being broken is being shattered or being miserable or being a failure or whatever. It has really, in the Lord, it has really nothing to do with that. He just simply said, here's what I'm going to do. See, as Lisa shared, Pastor Lisa shared, our place that we're standing is in Christ. You know this, you've heard this. We don't know what all it means, but we know it. In reality, we're seated in heavenly places in Christ. But you also got some feet on the ground. And there's this wonderful heavenly life that he wants to walk out and have expressed and have us experience now. That's not just for preachers. That's not just for Sundays. That's the life we live. And you know what happens sometimes? Doggone. It gets messy. Sometimes you feel like you failed. Sometimes you feel like you're soaring on top. There's all kinds of things that every one of us go through, don't we? And it's not about finding the right mask or anything like that to put on. Gosh, we got to get rid of all that kind of stuff, don't we? And tell people we just got it all together. The cool thing is, I need to get to my scriptures, don't I? Can we pull this up? Because if I don't quote a scripture, none of this counts, right? I'm just joking. Can we pull that up, Philippians, the 3rd chapter? They asked me earlier, Lisa said, if you got a scripture, I got one. Can't guarantee you I'll go to that one. But that's where I wanted to go. I want to read this just a little bit to you. He said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the false circumcision. Although I myself might have confidence. Wait a minute, go back to the 3rd verse. It was just shooting by, and that's the one I really wanted to hit on. Maybe I don't. Lord, are you trying to say something? No. For we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Now, I love this because it's just a term I use. I just talk about bragging on Jesus because he's the easiest person there is to brag on. And when we brag on Jesus and we brag on the Heavenly Father and we brag on the Spirit and we brag on what God has done. See, this is really what Paul was saying right here. He said, first of all, we worship in the Spirit. This is not about what anybody else concocted or got up. This is a living, breathing life in the Spirit. And he said, we glory in Christ Jesus. You know what the word really means? We brag. Have confidence. We speak about. And then he says, and we put no confidence in the flesh. Can I read to you? Well, I'm going to do it anyway, but I always ask. Let me read to you just a couple. I jotted these down this morning, a couple of translations. NIV says, I like this. He said, who boast in Christ Jesus. That's where we can get it. We brag on him. We brag on what he's done. We acknowledge that. See, sometimes it's easier for us, seems like, to get caught up in what we think are our failures or our successes. And he said, here's what Paul's saying. He said, here's what I've learned to do. I worship in the Spirit, and I just brag and I boast on Jesus, and I put no confidence in the flesh. One translation, the New Living, says, we rely on what Jesus has done for us and put no confidence in our human effort. You know, there were times where I thought sometimes the Lord was real impressed with what I did for him. I don't know if you've ever felt like that, but you're not trying to be necessarily boastful, but I thought, man, I really did pretty good that time. Lord, you got, boy, are you fortunate to have me. Ooh. I remember a disciple that was like that. That's why I like Pete. You know him? Pete was there, man. I mean, he was over the top. I got you, Jesus. You can rely on me. I can't speak for the rest of the bunch. But when it comes down to time, I got you back. You know what? He loved Peter anyway. And there was Peter, you know, we know all the story, denying him and all that stuff. I thought, man, Pete, you couldn't even stand up to the little girl and be honest? Really? Wasn't like she was a guard or had a gun or a spear. It's a little girl. No, I don't know him. Shut up. Get out of here. See, because in that moment, I don't want to give Pete a hard time because sometimes we get a little more confident in what we can do for the Lord and how we are and what we have to offer. And, you know, all the while it's been him. See, I used to years ago think, I thought, Lord, you need to bring me to that that place of weakness. That's okay. I found out I didn't come to a place of weakness. See, people used to say, when you get to the end of what you can do, God will step in. And I thought, well, what can we do to start with? We don't come to a place of our weakness. We come to a realization of our weakness. Paul defined it. He said it's flesh. Put no confidence in flesh. And he said, because when we do, or if we do, we get a little excited about what we can accomplish for the Lord. But then there was John. And there he was at the foot of the cross. And I know y'all have heard this. I even heard me say it sometime. I don't know. But I know this about John. He seemed a little arrogant when he wrote his gospel. I know he didn't know he was writing one for the book. But John's writing this gospel, and he didn't use his own name. Y'all know how'd he refer to himself? That's right. Yeah, the disciple whom Jesus loved. John, who you talking about? Well, me, of course. And I'm thinking, he seemed a little bit arrogant, didn't he? And I went, no. He was very humbled. He knew he was loved. And he relied more on Jesus' love for him. See, I don't boast in what I can do for him. I brag on what he's done for me. And see, John bragged about being loved, not just loving. Not just being the one you can count on. Because see, our commitment, and there's nothing wrong. I believe we do have a commitment that flows out of us without question in the Spirit. And the power of the Spirit. But it's not our commitment holds us in this. It's not our dedication or anything. And we should be committed and dedicated, I believe, by the Spirit. But it's his commitment to me. And it's his commitment to you. And that's why John could be found at the foot of the cross at redemption. Because he hadn't been bragging about all he was going to do for Jesus. He just knew he was loved. And that love compelled him to be there. Now, the neat thing was, you know, Jesus came back to Pete and we know all that story too. Isn't it great? He came to him. When he met, you remember when he told, this is cool, Lisa, when he told Mary too at resurrection. He said, go tell my disciples and Peter. He needs to hear it. He needs to know. Jesus didn't have confidence in Pete's flesh. He wasn't disappointed when Pete failed. He knew he was about to do something to change this complete thing around. And when we understand that we're rejoicing in what he's done. See, one last translation, Contemporary English Version. I'm just going to read this because I took time to write it down, and you need to hear it, right? We worship by the power of God's Spirit and take pride in Christ Jesus. We don't brag about what we've done. And that's not what I'm saying this morning. See, what I heard this morning was a testimony, and it needs to continue, a bragging about what Jesus has done and what Jesus has accomplished. And Paul set this whole thing up, and he's talking about the fact that he said, we worship God in the Spirit. It's not just what we do when we gather, although it is. I like that thing. That's cool. I'm gonna take that and use it too, because I love that thought. You know, when we come in, sometimes we do have a mentality, well, I'm empty, and I need to come in and fill up. But what if we came in knowing we were already full to just empty out? And what if we took that same attitude when we woke up Monday morning and Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning and we said it's not that we're being depleted, because how can you get depleted from the life of God? But we're made aware and we are realizing these things. Because Paul, what he does here, there's some things that take place. I don't want to read this whole chapter, but he talked about all the wonderful things he had going for him. And frankly, they're things that to me don't mean a thing in this world. I'm honest. You go, well, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. And I'm thinking, well, good for you. That doesn't carry any weight to us. Do we see that and go, boy, I wish I was the tribe of Benjamin. I wish I was a Pharisee. I wish I was concerning the law, blameless, and all of these things. But see, in his time frame and where he was, that was some clout and that was some credential. He carried some weight with what he just shared. When he talked to them, he said, listen, this may not mean anything to you 2,000 some years later, but in the time he had it going on. And he said, here's what I've done. He said, I've taken all of those things that to me counted for something, that seemed to mean something. And I said, I put them over in the loss column. I'm not saying God's taking everything you've got or anything like that. We're talking about, I loved it this morning, he's talking about being broken. And see, being broken is not a matter of God destroying our life. On the complete contrary, it is about us and him revealing to us what really is life. And see, sometimes, I've shared this story before, I'd never forget as a kid, My aunt, she's gone on to be with the Lord, and she wouldn't hear this anyway, and I don't know if she'd want to know that she had one. But I don't know if y'all remember, it was back in the 70s that I saw them. Those little weight loss things that you had, and they had that little belt around them. Some of you, I know some of you, this is so cool. If you're a younger generation, Google it. You'll find, but it was a weight loss thing, and they got this big contraption up here, and you stand up on it, and you wrap this little belt around you, and then what do? You turn it on, and that little belt starts sliding, and you're going, and I'm thinking, I don't know how that helped you lose weight, except it made you nauseated, and you didn't feel like eating. But anyway, I found one in my aunt's bedroom over there one day, and Lisa, I decided, I want to see how it works. Didn't take me long to find out, I don't like this ride. You know why I was shaking up so much? Because I was just tied into something that was shaking. And see, sometimes, see, our life, the true fact and reality is, our life is hid with Christ in God. Scripture says, when Christ, who is your life, shall appear. That's not way off somewhere. I believe that's the appearing now. We shall appear with him in glory. When we find out our identity and who we are, it changes everything. But see, when my mindset and when my view and my perspective sometimes gets tied to something else, maybe it's my seemingly successes in this life that I feel like I've accomplished, or maybe for some, it's all your failures. Some of you have defined yourself for a long time by your failures. And you think this is who I am because of how I was raised or how I was treated or what I went through. And I'm not making light of any of the things we've gone through that have hurt us. But they can't redefine you if God has called you his child. And if I harness my mind and my heart and my affections to those things, they're going to shake me up a lot. And the deal is not trying to just simply, well, I got to get free from that. The good news I found is he said, you're already free. He set us free in Christ. He set us in heavenly places. Learning to live loved and trust love, to me, is part of the simplicity of this gospel. To know he loves me. You know, there's some times where I'm not trying to find some deep scripture or some outline to some message or some theological anything. I need to know in that moment, man, Jesus, I need to know you love me. I need to know because I got to rest because there's some things in this moment I may not understand, I might not grasp. And see, Paul took all of this stuff that the world said, you got it going on, buddy. And he said, he gave it up, not just haphazardly, he said, in light of. It was in light of something else. Now, without seeing that light, all the other stuff, it'll seem important. Our world will tell us it's important. Our society will tell us all of that's important. Preserve ourselves, protect number one, all that kind of stuff. It's learning to get out of selfie mode. But we don't try to get out of selfie mode. We just get into Jesus mode. I want to see him. I want to fix my eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. I want to do like John and have my head just laying on his chest. I want to hear his heartbeat. I want to know he loves me. I want to know he's affectionate to me. And then I start to see the world differently. It'll change how we treat other people. You know, I was not around Pap as much as y'all were. I saw him here at conference. But when I hear the testimonies and when I see the results, Pap loved people. So do you, Graham. It's transcended to your children and to the offspring and the others. You see people in a different light, if you will. And suddenly the society is something not to avoid or to get away from or to judge. Suddenly society is an opportunity to just love somebody. I saw a quote this morning, interesting. You see all kinds of stuff on Facebook, don't you? Every once in a while there's something good. You know, it was a quote, I think, from Mother Teresa, and she said, it's really hard to love people while you're judging them. It just doesn't make room. And she said, don't judge people, and you just freed up to love them. Well, we got to get them straight. We don't have to straighten anybody out. Love on them. And when we see all of these things, you may have great success. I'm talking about naturally speaking. Maybe people think they've got great successes or terrible failures. Do like Paul and say, you know what? All that stuff's past. And just lay it aside. He said, I'll count all of this stuff as what? What's that? Oh, they said it in church, Pastor Lisa. Count it all as fertilizer. Yeah, my wife clears her throat sometimes, and y'all all know that story. I don't pay any attention to it. She doesn't have a cold or anything. That was all for me. Doesn't mean I listen, but if you hear her go, that's a running joke. A lot of y'all know that, but I don't pay any attention to it. But anyway, get her a glass of water. She'll be fine. I know it. It's all Monty's fault. That's all I know to say. I'm seriously, let's get this back in. You know, when we see those things, I got to share this. I know y'all have heard this, but just for the one person here that hadn't, let me tell this story. Some of y'all have heard my story about my son in church. One Wednesday night, it's been years ago, he's off at school, 21 years old, Appalachian State. And so he was toddler, he was just talking. He's sitting there coloring on the front pew. Sometimes you don't think they're listening. And you have to understand, as I've told this story before, I'm from the South, and so I don't pronounce everything quite clearly. And I was talking about doing our Christian duty, but I didn't say duty. I was just up there sharing, and I said, sometimes we just get caught up in misunderstanding the Lord, and the flesh will compel us, and all we're trying to do is just do our Christian duty. But when I said that, I was not near my son, but David Thomas looked up at Lisa, and she said, I mean, he's coloring, just not paying attention. All of a sudden, he said, oh. He said, Daddy said duty in church. Well, she like to lost it. Well, needless to say, I'm going to reiterate a point and kill it to death, I guess. So I said it a few more times, and the next time I said it, I said, so don't just get wrapped up in just trying to do your Christian duty. Well, once again, he's listening now. Mama, he said duty again. And the funny thing was, we were ministering in South Carolina years and years ago. It had to be back. John Cahill's Fellowship. And we were telling, you know how you tell stories on your kids and all those things. And we've been sharing with Teresa down there. And we went back to the motel. And the first time I was sitting there, I got tickled. Lisa went to bed. And I got to thinking about that. I said, doing our Christian duty and doing our Christian duty. And as I was tickled, honest to goodness, this is how the Lord talks to me sometimes. I felt like I heard the Holy Spirit just chuckling. He said, son, they're pretty much the same. And for those, I've always made this point, for those that want scripture, that's it right there. Paul said, I count all those things as dung, duty. So some of y'all may not remember a thing on the 40th anniversary, but you're going, he talked about duty. But the point, I'll back it back in so my wife doesn't clear her throat. Paul's just saying, in view of the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus, is just trash, rubbish, just something to be thrown out. The Lord is not telling us to wreck our lives, throw anything away in that regard. He's just saying that compared to knowing him, what else really matters? Honestly, what else is really important? Now, I may say this is important, this has to happen, this has to take place this way. I'm going to tell you, life doesn't look like what I thought it would look like when I got to this point. I'm going to be honest. I'm not saying it's bad, I'm just saying it was nothing like what I thought it would look like 30 or 40 years ago. And if you'd have told me it looked like this, I wouldn't have had the perspective to embrace it, and I'd go, well, I don't really want that. But he said, this is the perfect life because it's the one you're living. Learn to dance and enjoy the moment you're in. Learn to celebrate the moment that you're in and live the life that you've got in Christ right now that you have. You woke up, like I said, every one of you took a breath this morning. You can't outlive your purpose in Christ in the planet or in him because that's eternity. So enjoy that moment. Celebrate that moment. And like Paul, we get to that place where he said, here's what I did. All of those things I counted as absolute rubbish and nothing. And here's the kicker. For a great ministry, for a bunch of money, for a great reputation among everybody else, for writing 2/3 of the New Testament, for healings and all of these things, wonderful as all of that stuff can be and glorious in the Lord. He said, no, it's just simply for knowing him. To know him. As one brother put it one time, I loved it. He said, man, I want to be so close to the Lord. I know what his breath smells like. I want to sense that. And here's the thing. You can't know anybody unless they want to be known. Right? You and I hadn't figured God out. We hadn't discovered him, tracked him down, cracked the code, or anything. He's revealing himself, and it's his good pleasure to do so. He said, I want to share my life with you. And sometimes we think, there's got to be something deeper. Get on to the deep stuff. There's nothing deeper than knowing Jesus intimately. There's nothing deeper than this relationship. The world, the drug addicts that you guys deal with, I don't know all that community. We deal with some of that. Doesn't matter if you're a drug addict or you're just a straight-laced kid that's grown up in a religious setting. If you don't know Jesus, you need to know Jesus. And I'm not just simply talking about a salvation, come to the altar, get your ticket for heaven, and then just endure it out for however many years, and then we get to go to the party. I'm talking about the intimacy of knowing him now, and out of that, the Holy Spirit will make him known through you. There's a reality of Christ that just happens supernaturally, naturally through us in that setting. But it's knowing him. It doesn't matter really. The neat thing is, Paul said in one other place, you know, it came to mind, over in Corinthians, he talked about not putting confidence in the flesh and boasting in Jesus. But in Corinthians, he made this statement. You remember when he had that thorn in the flesh? We don't read that one a lot, do we? I don't really like that chapter. Paul's thorn in the flesh. Okay, let's go somewhere else. I used to kind of not like that because I thought God really, you know, at first, I'll be honest, Pastor Lisa, I thought God really copped out on the answer. What kind of answer is that? I sought the Lord three times. This thorn in the flesh was giving me a messenger of Satan to buffet me. I've heard people make all kinds of speculations and go into deep theological argument about what the thorn was. I've heard debilitating eye diseases and all of that stuff. And I think in doing all of that, if you know what it is, great, enjoy it. But the fact is, what God wanted to make known there was when he said, when I asked God about this, what did he say? My grace is sufficient. I was thinking, man, that sounds like just a confusing answer to give to somebody because you don't really have an answer. I used to think he was just telling him, well, Paul, just, I guess my grace is sufficient. You're just going to be miserable. That's not what he said. Paul was trying to figure out this thing on his own. He was trying to figure out how to get rid of it. He was trying to figure out how to deal with it. And we asked God, God's answer to him was grace. I need an answer. He said, you want grace or do you want to rely on the flesh? You want to figure your way out of this or you want to just let grace be grace? Because see, grace is the vehicle for God's love and love is the vehicle for God's grace. It's who he is. It's how it flows to us in the spirit, in this life that we have, in the intimacy that we have with him. It literally is a gift. It literally is free, and we don't understand that because it's hard for us. We give gifts and people, you ever had anybody give you one of those gifts and you found out it wasn't free? I just want to do this for you out of the goodness of my heart. And, you know, 6 months later, don't you remember when I did that? Oh, my Lord, I'm getting hung on the strings that were attached. They're tangling me up. God doesn't have strings attached. He said, I love you. You want to take it? Here it is. It's grace. It's a gift. And Paul in that moment said something about his weaknesses. He said, here's what I've learned to do. He said, I'll boast in my own weakness. How many people have you heard ever do that? I think the fact is, I think you've witnessed it for 40 years. Be honest with you. I believe you've seen that. Not that the focus is on us or our failure. That's not what he's saying. But what he's saying was, he said, I can just glory and brag in the fact that I don't have it all together, that I haven't figured this all out, that I don't have everything packaged up perfect with a little bow on top, but neither do I have to. Because what I've come to realize, and this is one of the most powerful passages for me now. He said, what I've come to realize that in the midst of my weakness, which is what? Flesh. My inabilities, my lack of understanding, my lack of ability to get out of this or into that or whatever it may be. I've learned to boast in that because what I've found out is that where grace works is right where I know I'm weak. And I said earlier, sometimes I used to say, well, when we get to the end of ourselves and we get to the end of our strength, God steps in. We don't come to a point of weakness. We come to the realization of weakness. We've never been strong. We've never had it all together. This has never been about us carrying his kingdom. It's always been about his kingdom and his life carrying every single one of us. And he said, in that and with that mentality, we can count everything else as loss. We can let the alabaster box bust, because you know what? The goods are in the box. And God said, I put this treasure in an earthen vessel. Flesh. He said, it's not about that. It's not about, we want a great reputation. He said, he's not trying to preserve my reputation. He's not trying to give us a bad reputation, but he's not about trying to give place to flesh. He's about trying to give that place to the lovingness of the Spirit. And that's who we really are, though. That's our true identity. And when we glory in our weaknesses, because I think that's how a ministry like this has happened. What's happened in camp? See, my kids have been touched by camp. We've been touched here and ministered to just being in the atmosphere. I'm just having a blast being with you. If we get done and you think that is the dumbest, dullest thing I've ever heard preached in my life, just don't tell me, it might hurt my feelings. I said, but that's okay. I got to hang out with you and we enjoyed it. Because see, it's not about the reputation we have. It's not about just simply how people, when I say remember us, we need to know one another. We need to realize one another. We need to share the journey with one another. We need to learn to be real with one another. But it's not that we're trying to impress one another with everything we got going for us. Because then if that's the goal, we end up putting on so many masks and so many facades, nobody really knows who we are, and we just can't ever relax. But when we can be real and say, you know what, it's not about the little quirks we have, because all of us have little quirks and little things about us in the flesh. It's about who we are in spirit. And here's what Paul said in that passage. Paul makes this statement, and it's so powerful to me. He said that I might be found in him, having a righteousness not derived by the law, but that which comes through faith. But there's such a power to that. When he said that statement, it struck me. It's one of those things, you know, you ever had one just kind of grab you? You just reached out and it grabbed you and said, look at that again. Okay. And Paul said that I might be found in him. We got a whole world. It's not just millennials. It's every one of us. I don't care what generation you're from. We all got our quirks. We all got our things. You know why? Because we all got some flesh and we're people. And the carnal mind's a carnal mind. I don't care what age you put it in. It just shows up in all kinds of different ways. So don't blast one generation. We've all got our little quirks and things like that. It's the reality of coming to the realization of being loved in Christ. And everybody's trying to search and find themselves. I share this sometimes. I had a guy I heard one time. I don't know the context. I just know what he said. And I didn't ever question about him. But when he made this statement, I thought, my gosh, that seems as backwards as I've ever heard. Because he said, you need to find out who you are. Find yourself, because until you find yourself, you'll never know who God is. I thought, I'm not sure what you were trying to say, but that sounds just as backwards as it can be. Because the fact is, I cannot know at all who I am until I know him. Because he is my life. Jesus didn't just, he not only saved us, he not only, when I realized he didn't simply just come into my life, he became my life, my very essence, my very being. And that is not limiting. That is actually taking all the limitations off of what it is to love, of to be free, to share, to live the richness of his life. That's the cool and the exciting thing. And when we see that and we realize that, then I realize I can't know who I am. I can't find my identity outside of him. And you know where we do that? In the midst of the strength that he is, because we glory in him, we brag on Jesus. And we put no confidence in the flesh. I'm going to tell you, some of you this morning just need a reminder. He's not asking you to fix your life. He's not asking you to navigate your life. He's not asking you to put all the things together. He's not even asking you to come up with all the answers. He's asking us to trust love. to trust who he is. And Paul goes on and he makes this, and I'll begin to stop with that. You know how we stop sometimes. But he said, I want to apprehend that. Because Paul said, it's not that I've obtained. I hadn't got a hold of this. He admitted it right there. He put it in pen and ink. He said, I haven't grasped all of this. I don't understand all of this. But here's what I do. I'm forgetting everything behind me. That's a good thing. God, sometimes we just need to see you in a way that'll help us to just forget some stuff. Forget all that mess. That's not who we were. It's not who we are. And it's not going to define us. But he said, here's what I do. I want to apprehend that which has apprehended me. In other words, he's simply saying, I am trying to just get a hold of who has already got a hold on me. He said, I'm not trying to hold on to Jesus so I won't fail. I'm trying to realize he's already got a hold on me that I can relax and rest in. That I can be in a place where life doesn't have to be in that place of turmoil and confusion. And we go through that. We feel those things. We feel emotions. And the emotions are real, but they're not reality always. And it's that place of finding a place of rest in his embrace and who has apprehended us. Redemption is a really strong hold. Being a new creation is a pretty awesome thing. The scripture calls you and I a child of God. And he said that's what he calls us because that's what we are. Isn't that kind of cool? That makes sense. He said, I'm going to call you a child of God. You want to know why? Because you're my child. You're born of me. Paul talked about the upward and a higher calling. And he wasn't talking about, I don't believe just heaven. I believe in heaven. I believe perhaps in a place in the heavenlies. My mom and dad have left this physical life. I don't believe they ceased to exist. I believe they're in a place in the heavenlies. But our calling is not just a place called heaven. Our calling is in Christ, this life that we now share and this life that we now enjoy and this life that now unfolds before us and the fullness of this life, the experience of this life in him. That's what compels us and that's what draws us. And it's just to know him. To take the time, to take the heart. Say, Lord, it's not that you're ruining my life, but what if I just need to be like that alabaster box? I mean, he's not wrecking us. He's not destroying us. That's not the point. But he said, the goods are inside. Son, don't get so attached to the container that you miss what's on the inside. Jesus put it this way in the Gospels. He said, you know what? Every time you try to save your own life, word suke, soul, all your aims, aspirations, goals, everything you got going for us, everything you call important, every time you try to save that, you always lose it. It always slips right through your fingers. He said, but if you'll lose that for my sake, isn't that exactly what Paul was talking about there in Philippians? I lost all that for his sake. He said, in fact, you'll actually find your life. You'll be found in me. You'll be found in a place of security. You'll be found in a place where if you and I try to live with the identity the world gives us, we will live a false identity our entire life. But when we live with the identity he's given us, you're a child of God and you're loved and nobody can take that from you. Then it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. And I want to just close with this. It just kind of came to my mind. There's a song. I'm not going to sing it, but there's a song I came across a few years ago, or a short time ago, and a lot of people have sung it. I heard a group called Leland actually sing it, and it's called Carried to the Table. Have y'all, any of you ever heard it? Then I need to sing it for you, don't I? No, I don't. But anyway, when I think about how the Lord has brought us into his banqueting house, if you will, and I think about what it does. It brought me all the way back to that story of Mephibosheth. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time in that. I think most of y'all know the story. David said, is there anyone left of the house of Saul that he could do what to? I want to honor him. I want to bless him. So they come to Mephibosheth and they find him. He's Jonathan's son. You know, he got dropped as a kid. And it really messed up his walk. He's crippled. He couldn't do it. He had no confidence in the flesh, could he? He couldn't walk this out. He couldn't make it happen. Sounds a lot like we were. And he said, I want you to bring him here. So they go and get go get Mephibosheth. And I'm sure I've got to think Mephibosheth's a little nervous, wouldn't you think? Because generally in a lot of people's settings, what the king coming into office would do was make sure that anybody of the old order and the old house was wiped out. Why? Don't want any of them having a problem. He probably was not thinking he was being brought to dinner. He was probably going to be the main course. And we hear that story, and I never really thought about this, but they said, Jonathan comes to the king's table. He sits down at David's table. What a beautiful picture of Christ. He says, you're going to sit at my table, not as a guest. He didn't say, well, I'm glad you're here. Enjoy the visit. When you're done, go on out. He said, you will forever sit at my table as what? Family. You're a son. And I think, well, that's all cool. But then I got to thinking, the boy's crippled. How in the world did he get there? And I remember hearing that song, and the Lord said, the same way you did, son. I carried you. That's what redemption was all about, son. I came to the place you were. I died the death that was meant to be your death. I died for you, and I died as you. And when all that was buried, the old order, the old man, sin, the law, everything got wrapped up, taken away, and removed out of the picture. And the scriptures tell us, he said, you got resurrected, not with a resurrection like Jesus. He said, you got resurrected in Christ. And you were raised up and seated in heavenly places. How? In Christ. That's the good news of all of this. Doesn't matter if we're weak. Doesn't matter if we don't have it all together. We got carried to the table. We got set down in the place, and you have a right to be there. See, that blows my mind, but you and I have just as much right to be at that table as Jesus does. And if we say, oh, no, that's not true, then I'm putting confidence in my flesh. It may not be in my abilities, but I'm putting more confidence in my failures than I am his success. And his success gave us a right to be a child of God. You and I are a new creation. And he's unfolding that. He said, you're not who you think you are. Some of us have lived with a mistaken identity. You have been a victim. I call it identity theft. And it's not that someone's assumed your identity. They've stolen from us our true identity in seeing that. But if, like Paul, I can be found in Christ, having a righteousness not of my own but him. That's the good news this morning. That's the good news. See, praise God for 40 years of ministry and sharing and unfolding that, because that's what's happened to this community. I was unable to make it, you know, when Pat passed away. I, matter of fact, had a funeral myself. That it wasn't mine, but it was somebody else's. Just wanted to let y'all to know that. Wasn't mine. But somebody else is down in Benson at that time. But when I heard the testimony, the things that came back, there are people from, see, it's not just people from all over the country that wanted to come in. The community had been touched. I think I'd hear some stories. Some of the family heard stories from people that you didn't even know that your daddy had touched. He didn't share that. Because it just, that heart, Graham, that you and Pap had, still beats in you. It's called Jesus. I love you. Touched so many people. And it wasn't in that attempt to say, well, I'm going to go out and do something I can brag to Jesus about or brag to somebody else about. He just went out because he just loved God and just loved on the people and touched people. And it is wonderfully infectious in Christ. And you just simply love on people. I can't wait to see what the next 40 years holds. But I will leave you with this. I thought about this. People always say something like this. And I guess it's true. I could say right now, and I'm not mocking anybody, and if you've gotten this word, it's true. I'm not trying to mock that, but people could say, Pastor Lisa, I want to tell you, the best is yet to come. And I'm not taking anything from that. I'm not trying to mock. You understand? And that is true. But you know what I heard the Lord nudge to me? The Lord wanted to just say to you, Pastor Lisa and Dan, and to this fellowship and to every one of you as believers wherever you are. Here's what he said. The best is. And that was not the end. But that's the exclamation point. It's not, yeah, there are wonderful things to come. There are wonderful things to unfold. But always in him, he said, here's the deal. You want a word from the Lord? Here it is. The best is. Okay, now, Holy Spirit, open my eyes and let me discover what that means. Because it's right now. It's the life I now live in the flesh. It's the life that defines me in the spirit. It's who you are in this moment. It's who you are in loving us, Lord. Lord, we just pray right now. And I think the fact that we can do that is an amazing, good gracious, an amazing gift and part of this relationship to be able to talk and to commune with you and to listen to you and petition you, all of those things. Lord, you have given us your ear. You have given us your heart. You've given us your very life. And we can pray. We can speak to you. If our heart in this moment is rejoicing and overflowing, we can talk with you. If there are those here whose hearts are breaking in an area, they can talk with you. They're sitting right at the table. Not way down somewhere, not far away. Their seat's in Jesus. It's in Christ. They're right there with you. There's confusion in hearts right now. The Lord's not just giving answers, he's giving peace. Answers sometimes come, but peace is not because of the answers. Peace is because of the presence of Jesus in the midst of. And he's giving you peace. Some of you, I feel right now, I know you're trying to work some things out. This may sound too generic, and maybe it applies to a lot of people, but I really sense this right now. Some of you got some stuff you've been working on like a Rubik's Cube. You've just been turning, you've been twisting, you've been trying to figure it out. And the Lord just wants to tell you, put it down. And it's not that it's going to be forsaken or not taken care of, but you're trying to figure something out that it is impossible for you to figure out. And set that down and lift your hands and lift your arms. And just lift up your heart. And if you want to shout, shout. If you want to cry, cry. If you want to fuss God out, fuss God out. But talk with him. Because he's going to show you he's never left you and he's never forsaken you. And he carried you to the table that you're sitting at. And he wants to open your eyes to the bounty that's on that table. There's peace and joy and strength. And he's got the stuff that happens around you. But it's not going to define you anymore when you see him. And we're just forgetting those things behind. Lord, help us to just, in the light of you and knowing you and seeing you, we're going to forget some things. There's some hurts that y'all have had, just need to forget them. There's some people that you might need to forgive. Not because what they did to you, you're saying was okay, but because you're saying what Jesus did at that cross in forgiving the world is bigger than the offense that they gave you. And it's a gift of grace. He'll empower you. Your life has tremendous purpose and it has tremendous meaning. You may never stand with a microphone in your hand. You may never sing. You might not teach a Sunday school class, but that's not what makes you valuable to the Lord. You're his creation, and your purpose may be to just touch one. It may be just to touch your family. Maybe just to impact a neighbor or somebody at work, but to just love on Jesus. Some of you struggle with your feeling of self-worth, but I'm going to tell you there's something greater than trying to find self-worth. It's realizing Jesus' worth on you. And he paid, you hear it in your heart, he paid for you with his very blood and his very life. You are valuable. You are valuable. And he looked out across time and space before creation ever happened. And he said, here's what the world needs. It needs you right now in this moment. You have value. It may sound like just something to say. It may sound like just words to pep you up. But you need to hear them from the voice and the heart of your heavenly Father. They're not just words. They're the commitment of his heart to you. They're the commitment of his life in you. And he's showing us, every one of us, open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes, as Paul prayed, open the eyes of our understanding that we might see you in ways we never have. Because the reality is, Lord, the best is right now. Let's celebrate it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Pastor Lisa, I believe I've obeyed the Lord, unless these guys want to do the dance number right now. All right, we're going to let them go. Thank you. Mm-hmm.